Certainly it's good to see each of you this morning. Good to be back here with the church at Monticello. And Brother Phil, while I got you up, is it okay if we cut one of those air conditioners down?
I can put them down below if you want to.
I believe that'd be a little better. I don't think we're going to need all the cool air this morning. And if I have to, I can loosen this tie up. So I can kind of dress down a little bit if it gets too warm. I don't want to freeze anyone, but I certainly want to be able to be heard at the same time. It is good to see each of you. It's good to be back here in the church of Monticello. I'm glad to see that God has spared our lives to meet again, and that we have been blessed with health and strength to meet here. Certainly good to see all of you. Good to have our visitors. Good to have those who are our members and friends. Certainly want to make you feel welcome. Sister Smith, this morning, she has sent her... Jack was telling me that she's not feeling well. As you know, she has a breathing condition, emphysema, which is just absolutely... the best way I would know to describe that, the way I've heard it described, is it's like drowning with no water. And so, certainly want to remember her in our prayers, realizing there's many others who are sick, those who lost loved ones, and certainly want to remember them. If you get a chance, I would ask and encourage you to drop by, maybe see Sister Smith, drop her a line or a card, let her know that you're thinking about her, that she is missed. Since our last meeting here, we have now officially moved our home to Richmond, Virginia, actually Midlothian, Virginia, and I'm thankful that God has spared us and given us the strength and the endurance to do that. The last 3 months have been the most trying of my life, I believe, and certainly I'm glad to say that we're all under one roof again. I'm not aware of any other announcements that need to be made at this time. Do any of you brethren have any announcements? All right, if not, then we want to stand and sing a song and then look to the Lord in prayer. let's see here. How about hungry, faint, and poor?
That's paid.
Page 152. The last hymn. We'll stand and sing that as a way of introduction, and then we'll, like I said, go to the Lord in prayer.
Hungry and faint and poor, behold us, Lord,
Bye.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, so once again we have the privilege of bowing our knees and our head before Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for this privilege of calling upon Thee. And dear God, we confess openly before Thee and Thy people that many times we forget to pray unto Thee. It seems that the cares of life rob us of that pleasure and that joy that we have and find when speaking with Thee. Father, we bow unto Thee this morning. Thank Thee for the prospects and the beauty of another day. Lord, we realize that every blessing that is to our good comes from Thee. And many times we confess, Lord, that we've squandered the things that Thou hast given us or used them to things of no avail. Dear God, we read from Thy word that man in his best state is altogether vanity. Certainly, Lord, that is our case this morning. Without Thee, O Father, without the blood of Thy darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, without Thy Holy Spirit, we are nothing. We are but dust of this earth. We have nothing to claim before Thee, nothing to plead outside of Thy finished work of redemption. Father God, this morning we ask Thee that Thou would have pity and mercy upon us again, for we have sinned. We have come short of Thy glory. We have turned everyone, as it were, to their own way many times. And we've left following and seeking after Thee. Help us, Lord, where we have failed. Forgive us where we've transgressed against Thee, we beg. Father, we thank Thee this morning for this place here that we're able to meet together, to shake glad hands of fellowship, and to hear the gospel proclaimed. And dear God, to feel that we have a refuge here from the storms of this life. Father, this morning we realize that without Thy presence here this morning, then our meeting will just be formality. There will be nothing in it that would sustain us or feed us. There will be no instruction in it. We ask, Lord, that Thou would bless for Thy name's sake. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for each head bowed here this morning. We thank Thee for each friend and each member and each visitor that's come to be with us, knowing, dear God, that there's many other places that they could have been. We ask that Thou would bless each one according to their needs, and bless all that are near and dear unto them by the ties of nature. Father, we realize that many times the blessings that we receive the most frequent are the ones we take for most granted. We thank Thee for the rain that has fallen, that which has watered the earth, from which we draw our life and our sustenance that we may live. We realize, dear God, that it would be not impossible with Thee for Thou to shut up heaven, and it would not rain at all. Dear God, we thank Thee this morning for each and every blessing, the greatest of all being our Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He's done for us, and is doing now, and is yet to do. Father, we pray asking Thee to go with us through this meeting. Blessed to Thy name's honor and to Thy name's glory. And Father, we pray for this nation and our leaders, those who rule over us, that Thou would give them wisdom that they stand in need of, that they might continue to live and seek Thy wisdom, that we might, as Thy people, continue to live in quietness and meekness and all godliness and honesty. Father, we pray for those that are sick. We pray for Sister Smith, that Thou would remember her, and that Thou would be mindful of her every need, as we know that Thou art. Not only her, but
all that we're not even aware of, that thou would remember them. We thank thee, Father, for the recovery that we've seen in Sister Herbert, realizing that her case has been somewhat dire many times for many people, and yet thou hast blessed her with a speedy recovery and good years. We pray for Sister Elliot, that thou would be with her, and as she goes for testing this week, that which she would receive would be good news. And if it not be thy will, dear God, then may it please thee to give her the grace that she stands in need of and for the things that lie ahead. May that be each and every one of our cases. Dear God, there's many things left unknown unto us. There's many things that we do not know that lie ahead in the future. But we know that thou knowest. Help us to look unto thee as our rock and our refuge and our shield. For it's all these blessings we ask now in the holy and righteous name of Jesus Christ our Savior. And amen. I want to speak to you this morning, the Lord being our helper, on a subject that I have spoken on recently. Many of you here are grandparents. There's a few parents. And many of you have gone past the stage in your life where you're actually in child rearing. I find myself in the midst of this now. And I hope to speak a little bit about that, the Lord being our helper. This sermon ought to be one, I say I haven't spoken on it before. I never had preached on this particular subject until the last couple of Sundays, and it's still on my mind. And the way I do something, I'll preach a sermon more than one time. Now, I won't usually preach it at the same church over and over again, but if it's on my mind, I try to preach what's on my mind and trust that the Lord will bless it. A lot of times people say, well, Brother Dwayne or some preacher may have preached on a subject that it didn't necessarily pertain to the congregation. And I am aware of that. I am aware that I'm sitting here looking at the majority of people in this congregation are either grandparents or at the what we would call the, and I don't use the term older as a bad term. But I'm not going to sit here and try to give a politically correct sermon either. I mean, I'm older than my children. And then my parents are older than me, and my grandparents are older than my parents. That's just a fact of life. I've had folks say, well, you ought not to refer to your members that have been in the church longer as older members. Well, my friends, if we live in a day and age when we are no longer able to communicate for the fact that we're afraid we might offend somebody, then we're just going to have to do it. It's not a matter of me trying to offend anyone. It's a matter of trying to communicate what I'm trying to get across here. And I hope to touch on that too a little bit. This subject has been upon my mind. I think it's one that I need. I think it's one that my wife needs. I think it's one that my children need. And as a result, the last two times I preached on it, Laura has not been with me. And so I'm going to keep preaching it until she's with me and gets it. But too, I think it applies not only to us as a family. I believe that the strength of this country, the problems of this country, and the woes of this nation is not in education. The answers to this, our problems in this world, is not education. See, men think that they can solve their own problems, given through law, given through education, you name it. Men have always thought that they can solve their own problems. But my friends, it doesn't take a very smart person to be able to look around and realize that this world that we live in is in trouble. Serious trouble. And there are some things that are going on in this nation, in this world, that indeed it points, I believe it is, a sign of the times in which you and I live. But I'm not concerned this morning with the world. I'm concerned with the impact that this group of people right here with me this morning
are able to make. I want to read a verse of a chapter, a little more reading than I normally like to do, and see if it sounds familiar to you. We go over here to the third chapter of Isaiah. And you'll find here that Isaiah is prophesying about Jerusalem and Judah. And many will say, well, do you think that this applies to the day and age in which you and I live? And I'm going to start out by saying, I most certainly do. Do I think that Isaiah was blessed to prophesy a prophecy that applied to the day and age in which he was writing here? I certainly do. But do I believe that this prophecy has a twofold portion to it? In other words, the time in Isaiah's day, that portion has already been. But then there's another portion that also remains. Many times in Bible prophecy, you'll find where it has a twofold fulfillment. One will come to pass in the day of that prophet. That's how the children of Israel knew that a prophet was a prophet. If the things that he prophesied came to pass, then they knew that he was a prophet. Now, let me ask you something. Think about this. If here's a prophet prophesying to the nation of Israel, God has sent this prophet down there to prophesy against them. If that prophecy did not come true in that prophet's lifetime, how did they know he was a true prophet? It had to come true in his lifetime. And not only that, you'll find times when there was a twofold fulfillment of a prophecy. One, whenever they first made it, and the second one, it was sometime later in the future. Well, this first one fell in the days of the Jeremiah spoke of, Isaiah spoke of here, talking about Jerusalem and Judah. But listen to it, and let's just read some things. I want to glean some things from it and go from there and see if it doesn't sound like a country that you're familiar with. He says this, "For behold," in the third chapter of Isaiah, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator." Now, here's what God has taken away from Judah and Jerusalem. But listen here what he's going to give them. "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another." Talking about a day of political correctness? Does that sound familiar? You can't even go out anymore and say something about something anymore and call just a sin because it's not politically correct anymore. Every person is oppressed by their own neighbor. I can't say anything. I can't use the word older anymore because there might be some young grandmother out there that would take offense to that. Or some young grandfather. I refuse to be called older. Well, my friends, it's just a natural fact. If you're a parent, you're older than your children. And if you're a grandparent, you're older than your children's children. It's just a natural fact. If you've been in the church 30 years, it's a natural fact that you're an older member than somebody like me, who's only been in it since 82. It's just it's not a means anymore. And we're all hemmed up anymore. You can't say anything against the gay community because it's politically incorrect. You can't say anything against the black community because it's politically incorrect. You can't say anything about men and women living out of marriage anymore because that's not the end thing anymore. It's not politically correct. See, every man is oppressed by their own neighbor. I've got to watch what I say anymore, and each of you do, because we're afraid we might step on somebody's feelings. Remember this, and not only that, and this is what scares me about this, because you'll find whenever Paul wrote to Timothy and told him that in the last days that churches, they would not give heed to sound doctrine, but would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? They wanted a man up here that just scratched their little ears. They didn't want them to tell them anything, right and wrong, black and white, just lay it out there and let the chips fall where they may. They wanted a nice, eloquent speaker that could teach and dot every I and cross every T and give every loop-de-loop on the English language and give a nice little sermon prepared, talking about loving, talking about sharing,
talking about things, how to get along with your neighbor in this life, and I believe there's a time and place for all of that. But my friends, that last days, that church is a problem in it, and there will not heed to sound doctrine. Let me just turn over here to it. I'll get it, because I don't want to... I may have told you wrong. I said, Paul. Well, I'm not going to be able to find it. Okay, here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Now listen to these things he's telling a preacher to do. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Whenever we get through with this third chapter of Isaiah here, I want you to notice who's responsible for a lot of it. So we live in a day and age when every man is oppressed of their own neighbor. Not only this, it says the people shall be oppressed, every one by another and every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Let me ask you a question. The grandparents in this. Do you remember a day that whenever a person who was older than you came into the room, you stood up? I remember being taught that. I've forgotten a lot of it, to my sorrow. How about whenever there was a meeting or a lunch or a dinner at the family's home? Who got served first? Was it the mom or the grandparents, or was it the children? I've heard my grandparents say that their grandparents were served first and the children were served last. You go down now into anybody's home, who gets the first plate? I mean, I just tell them the way it is. It happens at my house too, I'm sorry to say. It happens at my house too. The children. Let me ask you this. And see, all these things are, this is a prophecy written hundreds of years ago, probably over 700 years ago. Well, 700 years before the time of Christ, excuse me. You find out where children should be their oppressors. I may be getting ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. But the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. You say, well, how does this nation behave itself against the ancient? Just think about what's the hot sellers anymore. You know, they've talked about a portion of history, how that they ought to rewrite, that they're thinking about rewriting the history books and telling how that Thomas Jefferson had, concubines of another race. And printing that, and they think that they ought to do that. What are they doing? They're attacking the ancients of this country. George Washington, I've read things on him that were not exactly favorable. And then you go and think about in your lifetime what we would call the honorable, the president of the United States. Can you tell me in your lifetime a president of the United States that didn't have some kind of thing brought against them? In my lifetime, I can't. I think back about John F. Kennedy. What's going on about him? Do we remember him for standing off the Russians? Or do we remember him about some of his fiascos with Marilyn Monroe? See, it's attack against the honorable. Not saying that the things that he did were right. I'm not saying that at all. But it's just been one attack after another. Richard Nixon, do you remember him for what he did as a president? Or do you remember him for Watergate? Jimmy Carter, do you remember him for the hostage crisis? They've really not smeared him as bad as others. How about Ronald Reagan, Iran-Contra? George Bush, also a part of Iran-Contra. Bill Clinton, he's got his own problems now. And I'm not saying that they're honorable. And I'm not saying that the things they've done were right. But my friends, here, if a nation could tear down its president of the United States, then you can rest assured anybody beneath him
is fair game also. All the way down, you talk about our classrooms. I told you, the problem's not with education. The problem with this nation is at HOME. And I'll get to that in a little bit. The Lord being our helper. The problem with our nation is not education. Now, Laura, you can stand up and clap, and Dot, you can clap too, because I know that I believe in a firm believer in this nation and its education system. There's more education going on now than has probably ever been spent. They talk about we need more money. We spend more money per capita per child in this country than just about any other nation in the world. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of teachers. It's a problem with the product they're sending to the schools. You say, who is it? Our parents. Not my parents. They're through. But we that are as parents are in a position to make an impact now. It says that the children shall behave themselves proudly against the ancient. Do they get up anymore? I was taught whenever a woman needed a seat, I was to get up and give my seat to her. Is there a lot of that anymore? You sisters, if you need to get out somewhere and you need a seat, are the children getting up to give you their seats? Behaving themselves proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. When a man, now I'm going to skip over this. He says, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, provoke the eyes of his glory. Is this nation, do you think this nation's doings, its tongue are against the Lord? I certainly believe they are. And I believe we're seeing how he is rewarding some of this. Let's keep right on reading. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. What sin came out of Sodom? There's a crime at the police station known as, named after Sodom. And if that doesn't spell it out good enough for you, let me just go a little further. Whenever Lot went down there, those two angels went into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot and his family was in there. Those two angels, Lot got them into his house. And they said this. Those men out in the street said, let us see these men that we may know them. And that know there means the same as Adam knew Eve, and they conceived a son and called his name, I believe, Seth. And they declared their sin openly, as in Sodom. Is this nation plagued with that now? You cut on your TV and see if it's not. On just about any TV show you want to cut on that you think would be just decent entertainment, if you're not careful, they'll run that situation, that scenario, that sin by you, and they'll make it funny. They'll make you where you laugh at it. And next thing you know, guess what? There'll be a general acceptance of that. Men doing with men that which is unseemly. Women with women doing that which is unseemly. And the law in God's day, whenever God gave the law to Israel, you know what the law was for that? You know what the punishment was? Any man or woman caught doing that were to be stoned with stones. You say, oh, that's not, you're being too harsh and you're preaching hatred. I am not preaching hatred. I do not hate anybody like that, but I'm telling you, I don't like their sin. That sin. And I've got my own sins. But I'm just speaking from what God has laid out in His Word. The punishment for that was death. They hide it not. It used to be a thing called in the closet. Well, it ain't in the closet anymore, friends. One of the biggest rounds that Bill Clinton went through in his political career when he first started was a problem where they were proposing opening the doors to gays in the military. They don't hide it now. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it will be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee do cause thee to err. Who causes them to err? The people that led them. and destroy the way of thy paths.
Our paths that we have come are under attack.
They've been under attack. The institution of marriage is under attack. One of the most simple, the most basic of all institutions, the human family, is under attack. Marriage is no longer a thing that is cherished the way that it ought to be. Because of that, 3 in 5 still in divorce. The world doesn't have the answers, friends. That's the reason I'm speaking on this morning. The world has not got the answers. And you say, well, do you have the answers? I believe I do. I believe this book does. About a lot of it. Children should be their oppressors. You go talk to your law enforcement people in these big cities, and you know who they fear? It is not the hardened criminal 30 years who's been in and out of jail. They don't fear him. Who they fear are these kids out here who think that they're going to live forever, toting around a machine gun and doing all kinds of crimes. That's who they fear. They think they're going to live forever, and there's no fear of anything before their eyes. Their children shall be their oppressors. And their women shall rule over them. That's a whole other subject. Laura and I were in the floor the other night at our new home watching TV. Now, I was doing some work, and she'd been out, and she got back, and I said, well, she was flipping, and I forget what it was, but the 3 shows in a row, on one show was how that a husband beat his mom, their mother, had 2 children involved. Here was bad dad. Then there was an advertisement on there, men misbehaving. Have you seen that? There's going to be a new show this fall on men misbehaving. A big comedy, and here's the woman now, and here's the guy sitting here laughing at 3 Stooges. Who's the idiot? It's the man. And then there was something else. There was I think this was on CNN or something. There was some other type. There were three things right in a row, less than 15 minutes apart. There was 3 hits on men. And I'm not saying that it's not a situation where I'm saying one's better than the other, but I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't believe it, go to your human resources departments in these large companies, and you'll find out who's the protected ones and who isn't. If you're a male, my friends, and you're a white male, just the truth of the matter, if you're a white male, you're a gone gosling if it comes to a pinch. If you're a black male, you have a little better chance. And if you're a female, you have a much better chance. And if you're a black female, you can write your own ticket. And I'm not telling you that because of bias. I'm telling you the way it is. I did my own hiring and my own firing. And if I had to fire one, and if she was a black female, you wouldn't believe the amount of hoops I had to jump through in order to do it. That's just the way it is. It's not a popular thing. Let me ask you, is there any shows on TV that you know of like Father Knows Best? There's not, is it? Usually, if you'll notice, most of these shows where a family's involved, notice who's the idiot? It's the father. It's the dad. What is that? And see, and you think, well, it's just comedy, it's just TV. But no, but you keep playing that over and over and over before you, and next thing you know, it's like I told you before, it's like water running over a sharp rock. After a while, it'll wear it smooth. And you say, well, that has no effect on us. Well, it may not as adults, but I'll tell you what, it has an effect on our children. If I were to say right now, cowabunga, dude, every one of these children in here know exactly what I'm coming from. Except for John. He's asleep. Only 2, so. But see, that's the point. If I were to ask you, where's the beef? Companies do not spend $1 million for 30 seconds at a Super Bowl because their commercials have no effect. And I'm telling you, the family is under attack. And it has been to destroy the family. Okay, enough of that. Did that sound like a nation that you know of? One where the young rise up against the ancient? They behave themselves proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Whenever we're oppressed, everyone by another, even his own neighbor, when their children shall be their oppressors, and whenever their women have rule over them. If you want to realize, if you want to invest your money wisely now, what you invest your money in now, or have you been by probably about 5-10 years ago, would have been men's colognes. In other words, the men's cosmetic industry has taken off and boomed. Why? Because they just mellow it out. I don't know how to say that nicely. It's just a sad case. But you don't have to be, there's no way to be unaffected by it. But you know what? You don't have to be sucked in by it. There's a right way and a wrong way. Children shall be their oppressors. That was one of the things that has really stood out in my mind. And I think about, you know, we have as parents the concept in our mind that I want my children to have it better than I had it. Well, you know what? I don't want my children to have it better than I had it. From the standpoint, I don't wish them any ill will, but I consider myself to have had a decent childhood. I don't want them to... I do want it better from one aspect. If I can love them more than my parents love me, then I want to do that. But see, we get it in our mind by saying that I want my children to have it better than I had it, is that we've got to give them more things in order to make it better for them. That's not true. That is a devil's lie. I'll tell you, it's like I heard a man by the name of Zig Ziglar say, and it's one of the wisest things I've ever heard about child raising. You want me to tell you how children spell love? And this is something I have to remember. We get going like two, like a rat race, and here especially the last 3 months. I'm looking forward, Lord willing, I'm going to the coast after this Sunday, after this meeting here, and I'm going to spend a week with my family. But children spell love like this. T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. Parents, and I've said it myself, I've had some good quality time with my children today. And usually all that is a parent that had an hour to get away to spend with their son or daughter. I'm going to tell you how you get quality time. It ain't by 1 hour a day. It ain't 1 hour a day. Sometimes to get quality time and get true quality time, it may take you an entire day to get to 10 minutes of quality time. You say, what do you mean? I've had the experience. You know, it may be working together. And it doesn't mean you have to be off not working. You can be working together. You can be running together. You can be running errands together. As long as you're together. One thing this society does is, see, we've got a situation now in society. Think about this. Parents both having to work. And I don't mind both having to work if they have to work. But if they're having to work in order to get all the things they want, then that's a problem. You know, I see that as a problem. If they're having to work to get the things that they need, then that's essential. So now we got our children, we pack them up and send them to daycare. See, haul them off to somebody else while we go to work. I give them 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours at work, give them the best I got, and then come home and I'm going to give my children what's left. Leftovers. An hour. Maybe two. Especially in the wintertime, it gets dark around 6 o'clock. Parents are going, yes. It gets dark around 6 o'clock, 7, and we put them down. So you may only have an hour, maybe 2 hours with them. The world's had 8 or 9. Then I thank God that it's not this way at Old Baptist, but then we go to church on Sunday, and they're sent somewhere else. Parents are usually sent over here, and children over here. And it's just one, you know, time together gets to be a real rarity. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. You tell me what you can give your children. You say, oh, I want my children to have it better than I had it. I certainly want mine from the standpoint. If I can love mine any more than my parents love me, I want to do it. But I don't want to necessarily give them the material things of this world and think that that's my way of loving them anymore. You tell me there's not a single thing that you give your children, as far as materially speaking, that can't be replaced. Money, it can be replaced. You may have to work for it, but it can be replaced. Home, it can be replaced. Cars, toys, all of that can be replaced, but one thing that cannot be replaced is your time. And my time. Now, Deborah and Luke, I don't want you to feel like I'm talking exactly at you, okay? Because this is mine and Laura's show, too. It's really all of our shows. If you've got grandchildren. David, I'm glad to see you with your granddad. Sure am. I think that's right. I think it's honorable. I think that's the way it ought to be. See, grandparents sometimes think, I've got my children up and got them raised. My days are through. No, they're not. You don't know what kind of influence you have over your grandchildren. But I'll tell you where you're going to lead them. You say, well, they're not in my house all the time. No, that's right, they're not. But I'll tell you what, you can lead them by example. And you go read over in Deuteronomy in the 4th chapter. I've read this to you before. I'll read it again. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. He says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. When God told Moses, and Moses told the children of Israel, he said that they were to teach not only their sons, but their sons' sons, the things that they had seen. The responsibility for teaching was not only the parents, but also the grandparents. I want to read a few things here. Children that will be their oppressors, that was really my text, but I've kind of got strayed and I've beaten, banged, and clamored. The Bible is not a one-sided thing. It tells how husbands ought to live. How they ought to live as husbands. How they ought to live as fathers. It tells wives how